Blog Talk Radio.
So, all you scared to death Negroes.
Bring up the gun, you gon' respect us. That little vest ain't gon' do ya, I shoot for Mecca. I ain't even tryna hold ya, Magnolia Slim. I'm a soldier from that mode, I'm the ghost of him. From the era police stretcher, no cameras catch it. Drop you off in the rival hood, you'd rather be arrested. If you didn't have no straps, you couldn't wear your necklace. Niggas hand around your throat, that's a choker reference. My ancestors took old food, made soul food. Jim Crow's a troll too, he stole the soul music. That's the blood that goes through me, so if you assume it, I can never sell my soul, they sold their soul to me. Peaceful teaching the roomie, but don't confuse me. You mouth off for the cameras, I make a silent movie. Now here's some jury. No civilization is conquered from the outside until it destroys itself from within. Pin. Put a pin in that, we'll come back when I'm fin. You can't talk like I talk, cause you ain't been where I've been. Young.
If it come from me and hold, consider it Quran. If it come from any of those, consider it Haram. The minaret that jigger blew me on the stone where the rock was crafted so beautifully, consider this a dime. From a hard place in the rock to the rock nation of Islam, I emerged on the wave that title made to drop bombs. I came to bang with the scholars, and I bet you a Rothschild I get a bang for my dollar. The synagogue of Satan want me to hang by my collar, but all praise due to Allah upon the watch of Allah. I put on for my nation like I'm King T'Challa, crushing the Ojibwe that try to bring Valhalla. You want it, I got it. Don't make me have to blast this rocket. J electricity, the thing you need like a hole in this head is publicity. Though we shine like a Christmas tree. Verily, verily, I tread through life merrily, giving all thanks to God for this universal therapy.
Think of things I said that you hated then. Empirical facts that can't be debated now. Things you say today, I was saying then. Tell us who your favorite now.
Shall we have some Adolf?
Definitely not.
On your way, Moberg. Hey, we're expecting Git.
Well, I thought you said he was writing a book.
Said I was writing an essay, and it requires some shut mouth.
Don't waste your time on those junkyard losers. This country was built on genocide and slavery. We killed all the black guys that were here, and then we shipped in new black guys of our own. And then we brought in Jesus like a bar of soap.
Let's go.
You know it. I am the religious correspondent. Fuck off with your Jesus beliefs. If the Bible's God's book, why didn't he give it to everyone?
We give more money to parking meters than we do to kids to eat.
Don't read me like that. I've done the research. 12,000-ton rust bucket went down in the bay full of hydrochloric acid. Killed off everything in the sea. Killed off the fishermen. Their kids are picking garbage.
All right, don't get angry. It's hot outside. You want scotch?
Yeah.
Well, 10 years ago, five years ago, I might have said go after it. Now I say go with it. There's nothing you can change. Sometimes you just gotta spew over the side and keep rowing.
Into a nut brown sunset?
It's a land of multiple outrage. Thousands trodden on before you wake up for breakfast. That isn't news. It's a commercial reality. And providing it isn't their sunset, nobody gives one-fifth of a fuck.
You underestimate your readers.
I don't think so.
You underestimate me. You told me to make it work. That's what I want to do. Wind down this Lazonga crap and make a newspaper.
Let me tell you some home truth. This paper's been on its knees to a bank since the day it opened. And like most every other newspaper on earth, it's financed by its advertising. And without advertising, not only is there no Lazonga, there's no paper to put it in. So thus, there are one or two things that we don't write about.
In other words, nothing at all.
In one other word, discretion. You're not a foreign correspondent in some far-flung foreign land. This is America.
This is Puerto Rico.
This is America. You think some plumber from Normal, Illinois saves up for 25 years to come here on a cruise ship to read about bad times on the sugar plantation? He don't give a fuck. The average guy don't rock the boat because he wants to climb aboard it. And our readership is vividly average. They don't care who the losers are. They want to know who won. Who won the bowls? Who won the races? Who won the pot at the slot machines? Look at me, Ken. You're not sleeping. You're wide awake. And this is the American dream.
So many hotels, you can't see the sea.
You can see the sea by checking into the hotels.
Pay to see the sea.
What's the matter with that? You're paying to be in the dream. There's a thin veneer, Kemp, between the dream and the reality. You wake them up and the people might start asking for their money back.
You're the boss.
Not quite. The editorial policy of this newspaper is owned by the dream.
The only thing I'm seeing I'd like to put an amend on, perhaps a little more room here for the fixins. You know what I'm talking about?
Ooh, we're going to have a lot of fixins?
We're going to have so many fucking fixins up in this motherfucker. This shit's going to go through the roof, man.
Ooh.
Ah, damn, I'm shitting gold these days.
We made it. We made it.
The haters, the bloggers, the papers, the labels, they label me. But they can't relate to our struggle, my nigga, we came up from slavery. Apologies go out to all of my fans cause they waited so patiently. This one is for all of the lost and forgotten black angels that pray for me. A million niggas love me cause I'm ill. The greatest story ever told, niggas in the field. From Solomon to Sambo to Django, it's fact. I'm the fire kind of rap and I get it from the wheel. The son of WD who hung around in deep, who ran around in the streets. The trap gods raised me, face all on the sphinx. Story all on the wall of the pyramids. Niggas know the black god saved me. You can blow the nose off, that won't change it. Obamacare won't heal all that anguish. We came a long way from the bottom of the boat. All praise to the Mac D, we found our language. Gold necklace, middle finger erect. God, Private Shabazz, styling on the record. Lost sons of Muhammad, we wildin' in the record. The Shad to Allah and Lahad is the message. All these niggas, I got to fight one. All these devils, I got to strike some. All these rebels just waiting on the war cry. Mama says, son, you got to strike drum. Rock Nation, celebration.
motivation, elevation. Nigga, we made it from slaves on the slave ship, live from the cotton fields, straight to the spaceship.
Kinda makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like motherfuckers should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
Hop of the slave ship, pop up my chain and took it to Jacob, I gotta go play it. Walked in that bitch like, nigga, we made it, I own my own masters. No, I ain't missing no royalty statements, I can't be rated. Damn, ho, stunning them haters. Sorry, Mr. Drizzy, put so much y'all talk. Silly me, rapping about shit that I really bought. Why these rappers rap about guns they ain't shot? And a bunch of other silly shit that they ain't got. I'm on my loop, speed up, young go. Stunning on stage after 12 years of slaves. This Ace of Spades look like an Oscar. Black tux look like a mobster. Don't make me ride ya, nigga, watch your tone. I come to court with black boxes on. Y'all hella jealous of my melatonin. I can black out at any given moment. I'm God, Jesus, 7-letter made. So with my arms and feet shackled, I still get paid. All praise is due, I'm ready to chase the Yaku back in the cage. These are the last days, what do I sing phase? Showed up to the last supper in some brand new J's. I'm the true living book of hoes. New religion ain't from the other world, alien superstition. You blind, baby, blind to the fact of who you are, maybe. My bloodline's crazy, kings and queens and Michael Jordan rings. I go stupido, stupido. The flow's filthy, y'all can't kill me. I've been inoculated from the snakes in the face and your corny handshake, cocksucker, we made it, ah!
Holistic Art of War is a blueprint for holistic warfare. Holistic warfare is exactly what it sounds like. Being prepared for war holistically, universally. Prepared for war from all angles, spiritually, mentally, and physically. Universal knowledge kills ignorance universally. Remember that. This show was created to inspire and motivate. Not just to inspire and motivate, but to inspire and motivate movement. Through application to higher vibration. We want to move to higher vibration, and we want to do that with knowledge and application, not ignorance and procrastination. This is about learning how to become the best you you can be, the real you that you were naturally designed to be, not the superficial you or the you that you were programmed to be. To know thyself is to know thy soul, and that's the only thing that's real in this world of illusions. This show is for high vibration conversation. On this show, we do not allow mental masturbation. The purpose of these conversations are for mental procreation, to produce and reproduce results using practical, applicable knowledge. We don't debate. We discuss to get solutions and results. Let's talk about it. The Holistic Art of War. Are you really ready for war? Tap in live on Ascended Mind / Blog Talk Radio. Call in at 515-605-9749 live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Or listen online at blogtalkradio.com/Ascended Minds. Tap into the frequency.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today's eulogy is how to break the spell and conquer the enemy within. How do we as a black or original people of the land achieve victory over our enemies? From the superconscious perspective, the problem and the solution are one and the same. So let's start there. Let's identify the problem. Now, If the terminology I use, if you don't like it, replace it with another word. But don't miss the message. So let's get it.
You know what the problem with black people is? Black people are the problem with black people. Black people are their own worst enemy. It's been that way for some time now. That's how foreigners were ever able to invade and conquer, because we were divided, we weren't unified. So to think that an invading force just came in with this brute strength and power and
overpowered black nations. This is false. Their methods were to sneak, to steal, and to convey. They'd play you close, pretend to be your friend, instigate wars between neighboring villages or neighboring nations, side with you while some of their counterparts or some of their business associates, whether they be known to you or not, have done the same with those neighboring nations and instigated them to go to war with their neighboring nation. And once all the chaos takes place and the destruction takes place, the aftermath, they come in and pick up the pieces. So this is nothing new. If you ask, if we were so great, how did we fall? It's because of our lack of unity. The fact that we're too busy arguing and bickering with each other to really do what it takes to eliminate the oppressor's domination, or what we think to be domination over us. Because in actuality, no one can dominate you unless you allow them to dominate you. No one can control you unless you allow them to control you. No one can enslave you unless you allow them to enslave you. But again, the issue wasn't that white people hate black people. The issue is that black people hate black people. They hate each other. They hate to unify with each other, the thought of unifying with each other. It's almost like they'll do it out of desperation, but soon as the opportunity presents itself to switch sides or to cross over, they do so. You see, when Black Wall Street was terrorized, bombed, and attacked, it was able to be rebuilt, but the issue was this integration tactic that was used by the government. It wasn't because they had humanity and felt that everyone should live in equality. No, it's because they needed those dollars. See, it was all about finance. It's all about money. Black Wall Street tapped into their pockets. It devastated their economy. If it wasn't for the destruction of Black Wall Street, their stock market would have crashed a lot sooner. So these were methods of breaking up unity, cracking up unity, and we fell for it. As soon as the Caucasian says, you know, hey, you come stay with us, come move in, come in our neighborhood, send your children to our schools. But even before they even got to that process, you have to realize that these things took place, this large push for integration took place because individuals were already partaking in integration, and there were certain other groups of white people that had an issue with blacks integrating with them. So the white people that were profiting from the integration, they had to force it on their own people, force them to accept it. For whatever reason, whatever gimmick they sold them to buy into it, which most of them haven't bought into it. Thus you see currently with the state of events and the way people are expressing how they feel about certain other groups of people. You see a lot of crayon on crayon hatred going on. You know, the black crayons, the white crayons, yellow crayons, red crayons. Yeah, brown crayons. They're all at odds right now, you know. So what we need to do is stop with the negative perceptions of ourselves. Stop fearing ourselves. Because actually what it is the reason why black people hate other black people is it's an internalized hatred for self. So when they see something that looks like themselves, they hate it. They attack it. They don't want to be around it. They want to separate from it. They want to turn their back on it. They don't want to face that image. They don't want to deal with that image. They don't like what they see in the mirror because they don't like themselves. And that's all part of the program. Wanting to be something that you're not. Wanting to be like those other people. Wanting to be like your oppressors. Wanting to live like them. To be accepted by them. To be accredited by them. It's amazing how the old slaves ran from being branded, but the new slaves, they run to get branded. They feel that they're accredited by having someone's brand on their body, that they're validated by having someone else's name on their body, as if their name isn't good enough. See, the issue isn't that white people are keeping black people down. The issue is that black people are keeping black people down. Black people don't have their own hospitals because they choose not to. Black people don't have their own fire departments because they choose not to. Black people don't have their own law enforcement because they choose not to. Black people don't have their own sports leagues because they choose not to. Black people don't have their own media outlets because they choose not to. I should say mainstream media outlets, because they choose not to. Black people don't manufacture their own automobiles, although they love to buy automobiles. They're not manufacturing their own clothing, although they love clothing. They're not manufacturing their own resources, although they love resources. As much as black people love gold and diamonds and jewelry, how many black jewelers do you know? And if there was one, we passed them up to go to the white jeweler. What do you think happened to Carl Kanai, Fubu, Cross Colors, Tommy Hilfiger happened to him? European designer labels happened. The Gucci, Fendi, Prada, all of these things. That's what happened. See, whenever you develop your own market and you tap into it and you have your own consumer-based market, then you have these outsiders that want to come in and invade, and they want to put their foot into your business. So what they want to do is they want to integrate or cultural appropriate or appropriate your culture into theirs. So they'll start to make more urban designer fashion attire. They'll start to make things that they can market and target towards your specific demographic. So what we need to realize is that the way that things are going, if we don't start to produce our own, if we don't have the interest in producing our own, we might as well just lie down and submit. There's no point of whining, crying, complaining, or doing any of that. If you're not willing to step out and build your own, leave their government. You don't need their government. Build your own nation. You don't need anything that they have to offer. Provide for yourselves. But that would mean you would have to aggregate. You would have to unify and come together and do for self. What's so bad about that? It's only as complicated as we make it. It's only as difficult as we make it. We choose to be in the situation that we're in because we like to play ignorant. We like to play stupid. We like to play dumb, like we don't know any better. We'll complain about, you know, the white man's system or the system, but then turn right around and support it. You hate the politics, but you love the entertainment. Most of you are complaining about what's going on, what's happening to black people in the United States, but you're all going to turn around Sunday and indulge in Super Bowl and all of the Super Bowl attractions and the attractions that come along with the Super Bowl, the commercial, the advertisements, different things like that. They're going to congregate, get together, eat a bunch of toxic substances disguised as food, drink a bunch of fermented grains or whatever other chemicals that you choose to indulge in, and you're going to support their government sports league that is based on land grab, oppression, theft, and domination of the original people of the region. Do you know that most of these stadiums are built on Indian burial grounds? Or were once Indian nations or villages or communities. That's where they build a lot of these big stadiums at. It's really a slap in your face, a slap in the face to your ancestors. But then also you have the black athletes that choose to continue to be race traders. And the reason why I say that is because we used to have our own sports leagues. we abandon those leagues to go play for other people's leagues. Why? Because who would watch sports without black athletes? The white sports leagues aren't as entertaining, they'd be boring. If all of the black athletes stopped playing today, you probably stop watching their sports tomorrow. So again, it was all about money, not about humanity or equality. It was a business move. And those black athletes sold out. And when they sold out and crossed over, those black leagues were lost. And that was a deficit or a loss to the black economy. Same with the lotto. You invent the lotto system, they make it illegal, they take it, they produce it or reproduce it, give it to you, and you buy into it and you play their lotto like you didn't invent it. So now you're buying back into something that was stolen from you to begin with. Why would you support theirs? They didn't support yours. Start using your own skills to build your own nation, not theirs. We've been using our skills for far too long to assist with building their nation, to build their system, which is a system that's designed to go against us anyway. So all of the black people that have went to college and got all of these degrees, these letters, these papers, these certificates, these certifications, or, you know, stamps of approval saying that you've been validated and accepted into their system and to be a worker in their system. How does that benefit black people? How has that benefited black people collectively? You think with all of these college graduates, all these people with degrees, all of these skills, all of this intelligence, all of this know-how, that they bring it back and build up and help lift up their own people? But no, they take their skills and they go and assist other people, people that don't have their best interests at heart, people that don't have the best interests of other people who look like you at heart. But you think you're different, that you've been accepted. What, you think you've been accepted into the house because you have a degree? It doesn't matter, because whether you're a house slave or a field slave, the fact that you're still a slave remains. The only position is to not be a slave at all. So to depend on their system or rely on their system and think their system is a way out is foolish and it's selfish. And again, it shows these illusions of inclusion, thinking that if we just talk a certain way, dress a certain way, look a certain way, act a certain way, that we'll be accepted, that everything will be okay. Doesn't matter, because you wear a suit and tie. You're tied in suit. A tie is just a leash hanging from the front. It basically symbolizes that you're trained so well that I don't even have to turn around, turn the leash and hold the leash and hold you to walk you. You're obedient enough to walk without me holding this leash. But it can just hang and dangle around your neck. That's a well-trained slave. One that stays in suit on his own. One that stays tied in suit on its own, obedient. You don't have to tug its leash. Although it's there, you don't have to use it. All of the black athletes and entertainers, what have they brought back to building up their nation, or building up a nation for their own, or investing in their own? A few little handouts here and there, charities here and there to government approved charities, which most likely all have 501c3s and go by the government or ran by the government anyway. The government has their hands in it anyway, so it's still going back to them. Everything's a government fundraiser. The Super Bowl's a government fundraiser. These are government sports leagues, government sports teams. Is this a way to suck money out of the people? To be honest with you, I don't even know who's playing the Super Bowl. I don't know who won the NBA Finals. I don't know who won the Super Bowl last year. I don't keep up with shit like that. I don't know what new movies are coming out. I don't know what's going on in the media, what's trending. I don't keep up with that shit. I don't give it my attention. It's not worth my attention. Why would I pay something or pay into something that's not worth it or has no worth? You know, so when I talk about detaching, I'm talking about we really have to do some detaching. You know, we really have to get our shit together. We can't keep blaming for white, can't keep blaming white people. You know, at some point we have to come together and we have to be accountable and responsible for ourselves, and we have to do what's necessary to uplift ourselves. You can't depend on the hand that pushed you down to give you a hand to help you back up. That's insane. That's a revolving door, an ongoing cycle that's been going on for how long now? And that's the revolution, the revolving, the going in the circle. It's time for the evolution, the evolving, the ascension, the rising, the resurrection, the insurrection and the resurrection. We talk about biblical exodus. It's actually time for a literal exodus. We need to move, separate from these people. Go back to nature. Go back to what they call a country. Go back to natural environments, away from the toxic telephone wires and cable poles and all of the other toxic concretes and chemicals that are inside of the city, the pollution, the noise pollution, the exhaust pollution, the air pollution. Go to a cleaner environment. You'll be able to think more cleaner, more clearer. You know, stand in this concrete kryptonite, you'll never be Superman. You'll never perform with optimal capability. You'll never be super in this kryptonite, this concrete kryptonite. See, the concrete was our kryptonite. It killed our electricity. It killed our connection to nature, to the universe, whatever you want to call it, to the divine. The essence. And this is also why we suffer, because we buy into their illusions and feed into their illusions, continuing to give them life, because we don't want to come back to nature. We want to live like the unnaturals and continue to be unnatural. And before closing, I know some of you, you're thinking like, nobody wants to go back to living in nature and living in huts and straw houses. Who said you had to live in huts and straw houses? See, that's the perception that the European has given you. See, when we talk like that, that's thinking through the European brain. When we view things that way, that's looking through the European lens. When we hear things that way, that's listening to the European ear. We must cut that out. We have to eliminate the European. We have to eliminate the European inside of ourselves. We have to eliminate the cracker inside of ourselves. Again, Europe, look up the etymology. It is the land without sun. The land without sun. It is set. The dark continent. Void of sunlight. Void of life. That's why it's so cold. Coldness, the feeling of coldness is life escaping from your body. Warmth, the feeling of heat is life entering into your body. Europe is your lower self. Africa is your higher self. Africa deals with the sun, means always sunny, the land that has no shade. The sun at its highest point. So to be an African is to be your higher self, and to be a European is to be your lowest self. Again, see, I don't get into the color games. We're not going to play crayon games. Now, for the sake of conveying a message, I'll use terms like black and white or European or more or what have you. But we're not limited to these things. These are just for conveying purposes. So we don't want to get caught up on those semantics because of certain words that were used. We have to think beyond that and stop using these as excuses to sabotage our ascension. Because we're stagnating our own progress by doing these things. We have to stop supporting our own oppression. We have to stop feeding this system. Everything that this system asks you to do, do the opposite. Everything that it requests, everything that it has designed to be a normal part of the program, go against it. See, me personally, I never made a good slave. I'm rebellious by nature. Oh, some of you are eager to book a job, book of Job, book of Job. Job and Job are spelled the same way. See, some of these things subliminally program you to endure suffering, labor. The trials of Job are the trials you face on a job. Week out to week in, week in, week out. Days of the week is the days of the week. So, some of these things I have programmed our people, whether consciously or subconsciously, to be okay with struggling and being oppressed by the system because they think that it's all part of God's plan. But in actuality, in that book, the devil was actually trying to get you to become an entrepreneur and leave that job, be self-sufficient and independent, self-reliant, and not depend on your master, your lord at the plantation that you call the job. We have to create our own. We have to create our own. We have to detach. We have to rebuild. We have to destroy what they put in place and rebuild what we need to put in place.
No. Okay. With that being said, I'm gonna stop there and take a break. We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about it.
Psychology. We call it love for the aggressor, identity with the aggressor, where one loves the one that persecutes them in an unhealthy sort of way. But this is a part of what Freud talks about when he talks about the Oedipus complex. That his theory is that the boy comes to be like his father.
I ain't no black.
Because the boy hates his father. And it's a very interesting kind of concept there. He wants to get rid of his father. Then how does he come to be like his father, we say? Because if he comes out and actually tells his father how much he hates him, the father might do what? Destroy him. You see? He's dependent upon his father. He needs his father. And that need and dependency, that fear that his father will hurt him or destroy him, the fact that he feels weak relative to his father, then sets him up to say, I can't express my hatred. I can't express my hostility. And yet this hostility is tearing me apart. This hatred is tearing me apart. How can I get rid of it? And he gets rid of it by saying, then I'll do what my father says to me. I'll be like my father. If I think the way my father thinks, if I behave the way my father behaves, if I look at the world the way my father looks at it, if I have the values that my father has, if I be as much like my father as possible, then I will escape my father's punishment and death. If I can show my father that I love him, that I'm the same as he, then my father will not victimize me. And it's a peculiar theory, but it has some interesting aspects about it. To a good extent, the relationship between African peoples and white people is a father-child relationship. We think of ourselves as weak, powerless against the white man. We see him as the source of gifts, the source of blessing. He gives us the jobs. He gives us the protection. He gives us the food. He provides the water. He provides the housing. He provides this. He provides that. You see? And we also think because we're weak, we cannot go directly against him to destroy him, even though he hurts us, even though he degrades us, even though he frustrates us, even though he enslaves us and discriminates against us, we still don't quite get up the drive to say, well, I'm going to destroy this person who degrades me and who is destroying me. Because we feel as if we need him in some kind of way, that we can't live without him. He also tells us that you suffer because you have a different color. You suffer because you have a different kind of shaped nose. You suffer because you have a different hair. You suffer because you come from Africa. You suffer because you don't look like me. And what do we go for then? We say, well, if I want to get out of this suffering, then I should be as much like him as possible. As a matter of fact, if I get so much like him where he can't tell the difference between me and himself, he won't punish me anymore. I will no longer be what? A victim. So therefore, we are motivated then to come outside of ourselves, to move toward the person that is destroying us and victimizing ourselves, hoping that if we can get them to love us, and if we can show them how much we love them, and if we show them how much alike we can be, we can get them to not see us as color. You know, look at me, don't look at me as a black person, look at me as a person. You know, to abstract us. In other words, in order for other people to love us, they must not see the blackness of our skin. They must see some kind of invisible abstraction before them. True love is a person who sees you by all of your blackness and your big lips and your big nose and your kicking head, still does what? Loves you. If they got to remove your hair and they can't see you standing before them as a black person, they don't love you, ladies and gentlemen. For a person to say, I don't see you as black. How could you not see me as black? I'm standing right in front of you. But this is the kind of thing we want these people to do, to abstract who we are. And therefore, if we become distracted, that means we leave who we are. We have to come outside of ourselves.
I know black.
That's why we want to be educated with them and educated like them and so forth. We want to not identify in any way with Africa, African people, because to identify with Africa and African people is to suffer. So consequently, we even come to hate ourselves and come to hate our people and come to love the people who destroy us, but it's an unhealthy kind of love. We come to resemble those people. We want to take their values and their orientations toward life. And when they accept us, we escape from our self-hatred. And therefore, we look as if we look for their love to take us outside of ourselves as a people. So consequently, even when we don't love them, when we love even within our own group, we still often look for a kind of love that will take us outside of ourselves, which means then that we become false and unreal and untrue and dishonest and deceptive, unknowing. And how can you develop then a beautiful household and beautiful children and a beautiful community with a love based on this kind of hatred?
All right. Okay, we're back here. First and foremost, give libation to the ancestor, Dr. Amos Wilson, for his work and his contribution, you know, with psychology and helping us to further understand our dimension of consciousness, which we call race, or, you know, that we call being black, or all of these other different boxes and labels and so forth and so on. But shout out to the ancestor for just trying to put into perspective, you know, the trauma and the plight of original people, and just trying to give them a psychological center to be able to center themselves on and find some type of identity and to be able to navigate and move in this world and to ultimately not be oppressed psychologically or physically, you know, by the enemy. I know it was a lot that was said in a short period of time, you know, but with me, you know, I'm like machine gun fire. I like to come in, I like to get straight to it, you know. Sometimes I get quick, I move fast, I get ahead of myself. I don't really line things up like a format, like it's a script or you know, like so certain serving things, you know, it may seem a little out of order to some, but trust, it's a method to my madness, and a way that I line all the pieces up and things like that. You just have to be patient and, you know, take that ride with me. And if you ride it to the end, it'll all make sense in the end. So what we're going to do now, I just wanted to get all of that out the way, you know, and then so open up the lines. And then what we're going to do is just, you know, talk about it, you know. Some of what was said, some of what was discussed, some of the things I said, some of the things you may have heard, and some of the clips that was played. But ultimately, you know, let's talk about it. Let's get it. You know, I see it's a hand raised in the room, so I'm gonna take that call, and then we're gonna chop it up, see what we're talking about here.
Brethren,
peace, brethren.
Man, I'm right here, man. I'm gonna be you know, tuning in probably. I'll be a little bit annoying.
No, you all good. You all good. I'll do the same with you.
Yeah, so, I got to make sure I check out the show because I'm taking notes and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And before we even, the show you did last night, that was definitely, that was good shit, bro. Definitely good shit.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Definitely,
you know,
man, for sure.
Yeah. You was definitely in your zone with that one. You know, I like how you put that together and how you delivered that. You know, really, really like that. You know, I was sitting there, you know, just, you know, just like you said, just sitting there, you know, just ears open. You know what I'm saying? Mind open. But, yeah, you definitely dropped it, though. You know what I'm saying? Some flowers for that.
Man, I appreciate that, man. That definitely gave me confidence that I need, you know, moving forward with this info and putting things out. And I also appreciate your show as well. That's why I try to make sure I tune in. Only thing, like, with me, like, early three is early for me, so I almost, you know, I ain't going to say I almost missed it, but then I'm like, what time is it? I'm looking at the time, and then I'm like, oh, man, I think 20 minutes went by. I usually like to be right on time because I like to hear the intro come in and everything.
Yeah.
I want the full spectrum of the show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like the analogy you gave with the days of the week, like that right there. That was deep right there.
Yeah. Yo, and then, you know, with a lot of that, you know, that's why, like, you know, I, you know, say certain things, and then, like, I like to open up the lines, and then, you know, just further expand on things that was said. Because I know, like, sometimes I say things and just move past it, like I ain't just say what I just said. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, regular talk or something like that. But yeah, that's real shit though. You know, weekdays, days of the week, you know, just the whole labor, the job, the job, you know, like,
right.
It's definitely a connection with all of that. You know, people wait for the weekend, you know, and then, you know, for the week to begin again. Yeah, week out, week in. You know, it's like,
days,
you know, you
week.
Finish your week out, like, week. Yeah, that's how you end your week. You just end in week. A weekend is a week ending. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather replace a weekend with a strong end. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather have a strong ending than a week ending. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
you know,
but I wanted
weekdays,
to...
Yeah, strong days.
I wanted to throw out some questions because I want people to also, you know, they hear the situation and then... I want them to hear somewhat a glimpse of the solution so that they can have a direction. Because we don't want to just punish them like, you stupid. You don't know shit. We want to be able to
say,
this
exactly,
is what you can
exactly.
be doing, you know what I mean? Something other than what you're doing. So I want to ask, what is give like a overall solution of, you know, everybody's not going to just up and follow. Like, they're not just going to start taking this path, trying to seek their freedom and self-government and things like that. So what can where can people start just on a minimum basis?
I would say to always start with yourself. You know, deal with the things that you can control first. You know, the things that's in your immediate control, as opposed to trying to deal with things that you maybe further out of your control, you know. So just the little day-to-day things in our life, you know, to improve or enhance the quality of our lives, you know. I mean, it could be something as simple as, you know, when a person, you know, when they wake up in the a.m., just dedicating the time to themselves, you know, before they start their day, before they do any work for anybody else, just giving themselves some time to, you know, gather their thoughts, get themselves together, and, you know, go out, and execute their battle plan for the day, you know. But I would say starting with just developing like your battle plan or your course of engagement, you know, with how you want to tackle not just so much life in general, but just I should say that the way that you want to approach life, you know, whether it be the things that you want in life, whether it be things you're trying to accomplish, goals, different things like that. You have to, you know, just start small by, like, you know, writing these things down and then putting it into action. So it could be little things. So let's start with all the things that we don't like about, let's say, the society that we're in, you know, and you jot down all of those things. And then you put yourself in the center. And then on the other side of that, you know, what your solution is to changing the things that you don't like. Now, with you being in the center, of course, you would just, what that's saying is that you would have to be the change that you want to see. So instead of trying to change the world around you, you just have to change, start by changing your mentality and your outlook on the world around you. So I would say definitely just start with, you know, just taking notes, the things that you observe, be observant, pay attention. Take down those notes and just, you know, read them back to yourself, study it, analyze it, you know, and then on that list of everything that you write down, you know, prioritize it and put it in the order of the things that, you know, that put in the order of what's easiest to accomplish to what's the most difficult as far as what you're trying to change and what you're trying to see. You know, and I think that, you know, if a person is really doing the work themselves genuinely, that they'll gravitate towards certain people, places, things, information, and a lot of doors will open up or for them, you know. But I just think that initially, you know, it starts with self and with really just, you know, asking certain key questions to yourself and then asking yourself, what are you going to do about these things and what's within your control that you can handle or that you can change, you know? And then once you pinpoint those things, then you develop a course of action. How am I going to execute that? You know, so it depends on what exactly a person is trying to achieve, you know. But, I would say just start first by just taking down notes, asking yourself questions, provide the answer to those questions, and then just going out and executing, you know, and just doing what you need to do, but just putting it in order and just taking it task by task so that way you don't ever feel overwhelmed by what you're doing. And then it kind of keeps you at pace, you know, keeps your focus, because we're not really naturally designed to multitask and do all these different things at once and stretch our mind and put our mind in all these different places. So just having that key focus, that battle plan, writing down key objectives, how you going to accomplish those objectives, getting the insight and the know-how to do it, and doing it.
I like the way you explained that. You gave it clarity, you know what I'm saying? You gave people instruction on things that they can specifically do. They can start right now. They can start tomorrow. They can start writing stuff down, you know, observing their situation. So, yeah, I definitely like how you put that, man.
Yeah, appreciate that. But yeah, you know, it's go ahead. I ain't hear you. What you say?
No, I said you always been knowledgeable, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, you kind of stand out. You could tell that you're a great thinker. You could tell, like, even when I first met you years ago, when you came to the studio, you know, you could tell, like, even the way you was rapping, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could tell that you got one of those light minds. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, it's interesting that you said that, you know, that because some people notice stuff like that and some don't, you know, because it's for me, with that, it's always been a gift and a curse, you know, because I've been this way for a long time, since I was like in single digits, you know, so I had to dumb myself down a lot to just, what they call it, like be like socially acceptable to people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like to keep my thoughts to my, I can't just say what's on my mind, because that shit would be offensive to people sometimes. And I don't mean it that way, but it's just I think critically and I think quickly. And depending on what it is, I might critically and quickly say some shit that I probably shouldn't say at that point in time. But yeah, you know, and then that make people look at you weird, like, why the fuck he just say that? Like, why would he? You know, it don't make no sense to people sometimes and stuff like that, you know, when you're talking on certain levels and things like that. Yeah, so what I was doing back then, even when we would come to the studio, you know, even though I was dumbing it down and trying to give something, you know, to, like, appease a certain audience because it's just the demand of how music was at that particular time and just the climate and the environment. You know, my purpose with music was always to uplift and to inspire, you know, higher thought, you know, with music, because that's the purpose of music. The root word of music is muse. Muse means to think. You know what I'm saying? So the purpose of music is to inspire thought. So then, you know, the next question is, you know, what type of thought inspired? Is it high vibrational or low vibrational thought? You know, I spent a lot of years trying to find a medium, you know. So, you know, that may have been some of what you, you know, might have seen, you know, with me coming, laying down different tracks and talking and you know, saying some of the things I was saying that, you know, this got me trying to sound like, not trying to sound too spaced out and shit. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. 'Cause like, when you, like, with me, you know, like, I'm like, some would say, like, Libras are natural airheads. You know what I'm saying? Like, they think in the clouds and shit like that. You know, and yet on the earth and shit like that sometimes, you know, a lot of grounding is necessary. You know what I'm saying? So with me, you know, as this something I had to work on myself with, like, grounding myself and actually being able to speak to the people and relate to people and be more relatable to people, you know. So it was, like I said, it was a gift and a curse, though, because everybody don't understand you. You know, you come around and, you know, you be talking and shit like that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, with when you start learning knowledge and discovering yourself and your enemy and things like that, your conversation be different. You don't really want to talk about the dumb thing, the dumber things and the trends. You really want to focus on, you know, logically and based on your observations, what's the logical moves to make in those, you know, situations, things like that. You start to see all these patterns. And it's hard to find people to really you know, talk to, man. You got to dumb it down to be able to yourself, you know, your self-worth and value just to be communicating with people in general. You know what I'm saying? But here on the Ascended Minds, you know, we turning up. We ain't got to dumb down here because there's a lot of us that's waking up. So. But
absolutely.
When you mentioned about the manufacturing and things like that, and you were saying how they didn't have to, you know, they're getting all the jewelry. They like jewelry. They could be manufactured jewelry. So that made me think about, I had this friend of mine, and he was a bae before I even knew what bae was. But he was just, I knew him since way back. And I remember when he started going to Sierra Leone, he got the yellow fever shot. He started going over there to Sierra Leone. And he was telling me, like, yo, I set up a mining company. I'm mining gold and diamonds. So he was telling me all about it. And I'm like, he was showing, like, like bags of diamonds, like, getting straight out the ground or wherever he was getting them from, the rocks.
Yeah.
Showing me, like, a lot of gold dust and stuff. Like, I think he had, like, 7 bricks of gold dust. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So, and he got them into bricks or whatever, melted them up into bricks, had 7 of them. And then he had, like, a bag full of uncut diamonds. So I was like, man, I'm trying to get in. What's up? What's the deal? So he like, all right, listen, I'm going to give you all the instructions. So he giving me all the instructions. He sent me everything I needed. You need this passport. You got to get the yellow fever shot. You got to get the plane. This the plane, how much the plane costs. This how much the mining companies, this how much they charge. So the mining companies, I think it was like $2,500 to mine the gold. And I think they gave you like 3 or 4 miners or something like that. And then I think it was like, he said it was like $7,500 to mine the diamonds. And they gave you like 3 or 4 miners and the equipment. You had to rent the equipment and stuff like that. So he was posting like the stuff he was doing online on Facebook. and all that. And he started just making a way, just getting that jury, man. Like, and he didn't spend much to get a lot of the jury that these rappers are spending millions on. See what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, he had the courage to come from Buffalo, New York, and then go to Sierra Leone, where they got the blood diamonds or whatever they got over there.
And
he started getting that natural resource. You know, because I'm not afraid of diamonds or gold. I don't really care how it's being produced. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, you know, that has this purpose and this intention to build value, and people try to smear it. You know, it's the root of all evil and all this other stuff, but that's all perception. Because it could be the root of good, too. You know what I mean?
It can
be the root of good. It can change some things. But so that was giving me ideas, man, that, like, we got big ideas, and we need to start working specifically on autonomy. That's let me look up autonomy. Well, that's self-governing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a right. We have a right to do that. That's why, like I was saying, when you see, like, the Dakistan or the other countries breaking off from the main country, they declared their autonomy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They had a right to do that. We not even thinking in that fashion. Most of the stuff that we put out on ascending minds is before its time.
Yeah.
It's before people can even comprehend what we're saying. So if you look at, what Farrakhan did, you know, he got big funding from outside sources. We're going to need some type of big funding for these big ideas. He went, and I think he got $6 to $8 million from Gaddafi.
Yeah, you know from Gaddafi, another figure that was over there.
And a few other people, you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is we may end up having to lead the country to get some big sponsors, because for our messages, it's too big for people to follow and just based on sight. You know, people,
absolutely,
like, they lazy. They don't want to read nothing. They want to just watch a video, make it quick. They want instant gratification. They want to live their life according to memes. People literally dictate their whole life off of meme.
Yeah, what a meme said. You know, memes
they break up with they break up with their significant other off of meme. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They believe the law off of meme. They won't even read the law.
Yeah, that's the motivational force in their life.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, man, is, you know, we're going to definitely need some big funding. When I say big funding, we need a few million to really start manifesting these ideas, because it's a lot of distractions that's slowing us down, just maintaining, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's the truth of the matter. So if I had millions behind me, I wouldn't even be talking half the shit. I'd be doing it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be manifesting, like, hey, this is the spot right here. This is the spot right here. It's the spot right there. Spot over there. We in 20 different countries. So what y'all going to do? The doors is open.
Because, like, with that, you look at money as, like, employees. You can make money work for you. You know, so if you got, let's say, millions of dollars or multi-millions of dollars, that's that's millions of employees. You know what I'm saying? Millions.
That's what
of
they
possibilities
do.
Where you can make your money work for you, you know, and that's all it is. It's just a tool. You make it work for you. You put that shit to work like an employee. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you talking multi-million dollar, we're talking multi-million employee. You know what I'm saying? That many employees that go out and make money, you know, make that work for you, you know? And that's the thing with money. You know, that's the comfort, convenience, and the luxury that comes with it, to be able to, you know, make your money go and work for you. You got an idea, you go send your money out to go make that reality.
To go manifest that idea, right?
Yeah.
But that's what we need, man. We need to definitely build. It's not hard to build infrastructure. I've seen it done. We've seen it done. When they building these 100-unit complexes, these mansions up in Eagles Landing and things like that, and these gated communities, they building their infrastructure. And then you got, that's just probably a company that got a loan for maybe $50 million. and said, hey, we're going to take this $50 million, build this, rent it out, and get all this money back and pay the bank back and whatever. You know, that's all part of the war strategy for conquering with the finances. That's how they got America in the debt and all that, the $1 trillion of debt, because they was funding the infrastructure and the wars and things like that, and they had to pay that back. So yeah, they couldn't pay that back, so they had to pledge the people of the nation, their citizens, and the labor. You know what I'm saying? For that bank to function, for them banks, the branches and the banks to function. So what I'm saying is, like, we can use that to build up our resources and build up our comfortability, because we don't want to be uncomfortable out here trying to, you know, put out this divine message. We had to get this info for a reason. You see what I'm saying? And I feel like we got to feel like we the ones. We ain't no leader. We the ones. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? It's the time
ones.
To lead.
Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say that time is over. Like, you know, the time of, like, looking for leaders and people to lead and people got self-governance. You know what I'm saying? Like, self-governance is key. So looking for a leader, somebody to lead you. Nobody can lead you better than you can lead you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you're looking for somebody to lead you. You could look for somebody to mislead you. You know, so I definitely agree with that. You know, it's time to really stand up on your own and be the leader. You know what I'm saying? You know, and lead your life and govern your life, you know. And like I said earlier, start small. Start with the things that you can control. These would be this prayer of serenity. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the serenity prayer. You know, it makes a lot of sense, though. You know, and I'm not even really into, you know, all of that, you know, but just the ideology of it, you know, just the, you know, being able to accept the things, you know, that you can change, or being able to, you know, accept things for how they are and accepting things that, you know, you can change and that you can't change. And, you know, just knowing the difference and, you know, not exerting or exhausting yourself trying to do one or the other when, you know, it's not feasible.
Yeah, man, the show was good, man. I'm glad I tuned in. Word.
Yeah, I'm glad you tuned in as well. Everybody who tuned in. I see we got somebody else on the line. I'ma take this other call. We got another caller, 716-563. Peace, bro.
I'm just listening, man. Just to let y'all know, I'm in a room too, man. It's Mike.
Ooh, we got some heavy hitters in the joint.
y'all boys going up today.
Appreciate it.
I came in a little late, but man, once I came in, I'm like, man, y'all talking some quantum physics, some powerful shit.
Hey, you know what, though? I'm just shooting a shot. I'm going to end up probably having me a drink because I'm feeling so good about the show. Yo, I get excited about these shows, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, man, I might have to pour me a glass real quick myself.
I'm thinking this, man. We really, like, we need the support of the woman as well. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, you know, it's a lot of distractions they dealing with as well. You know what I'm saying? They dealing with, you know, they getting financed to all this other stuff, whatever, all this independent shit and all this, whatever, they getting financed and they getting taken care of. So we got to kind of create that system where they can come right on over. You see what I'm saying?
Security. Yeah.
But then create that security, that foundation. Like, we're not going.
That's why the government got such a stranglehold on, and they hold our people back using the women too with the child support.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so we compete with that authority. We compete with the food stamps. We compete with the Section 8. We compete with a lot of stuff. We competing with independent, or like whatever they doing, whatever their rights is, they done started. We need to be able to create that foundation and where they come right over and they don't miss a beat. They still got food on the table. They got places to live. They, you know, we're not like, we're not, it's not going to be everybody, but we build it somewhere, and it's a few of them, then the other ones are going to start following.
Yeah. Right. But this, it's all incentive. You know, what the government is offering them through those programs is incentives. You know, incentives to, you know, go against, you know, demand, you know, incentives to keep the same thing picking up. You know, it's incentives, you know what I'm saying? Like, so now, as opposed to, let's say, they went from dating the man to dating the system, dating the man to dating the religion. You know what I'm saying? It's incentives. This is what they can offer. As soon as another man or somebody come along that can offer more than that system offer, that can offer more than that religion offer, it's goodbye system, goodbye Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And then if that man walk out they like, they're going to go back to the system and it's hello again, Jesus. It's incentive. You know what I'm saying? It's incentive. You know, you weaponize the women against the men. You weaponize the men against the women. You know what I'm saying? So now you have a destruction of, you know, the civilization. You know what I'm saying? Between a man and a woman. You know, it takes a woman to build a nation. So they know if you capture the woman, you take the woman. You know, you take the potential of that nation's growth. You know what I'm saying? Because you teach a man, to teach a man is to teach an individual, but to teach a woman is to teach a nation. You know, that's a proverb. You know what I'm saying? And 99%. That is because the way the child.
99% of men do is to gain the interest or the trust of a woman. From the car he drives, the clothes he wears, the way he talks, the music he listens to, it's the whole man is almost to a piece shaped based upon how to gain the attention of a woman in this modern society.
And you,
I'm not sure it was like that before, but
women, do what they do. It's like women do what they do. Everybody doing what they do to get it from other women or from women. You know, a lot of what women doing, they're doing, they give a fuck about what you think about it. You know, when they do what they do, a lot of times they're competing with other females and other women and what other women is doing and what they're thinking and how they look and how they dress and how they drive and how they live and how they love and all of that. You know, they can be happy with them, you know, shit, all natural. They like, nah. You know what I'm saying? But but that goes deep into a whole other psychology thing. You know, you play it, say, like, this is a man's world. You know, this is what they say, like, a patriarchal society. But not. Anybody in their emotions, and emotions being feminine energy, this shit is more of, you know, everybody, you know, on a feminine tip, on a feminine vibe. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was saying, like, it's all about, that woman energy or trying to appeal to women. But men doing what they do to appeal or the interests of other women, or women doing what they do to appeal to other interests of women. Either way it goes. They got people back.
And they think the problem with everything being out of his house, everything is almost out of natural order right now. You got men trying to be men, women trying to be men.
Yep.
Nobody, the roles that they naturally meant to fulfill.
Yeah, because they tell you now that all of that, that's part of being woke. That's this woke shit now. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, you know, woke is all inclusive. It's all open to all types of you know, perversions and shit like that. You know, woke.
Mm-hmm.
What they categorize that shit as. I didn't even know that shit. I just happened to one day I was watching Netflix and they had this shit on there called Goodbye to 2021 or some shit. And they was doing cap for 2021. And they talking about all the different shit that happened in 2021 and how they was happy 2021 ended and whatever. It was like a little spoof or whatever on Netflix. But the one character on there, he was talking about woke and explaining and talking about what it was and shit. And I was like, that's what woke is. I thought woke was something else. Like, I thought it had to do with, like, something totally different. I didn't know that it was open, like, all types of weird sexual behaviors and all types of different dysfunctional, perverse, societal, social engineering constructs and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? A bunch of weird shit. You know what I'm saying? A bunch of weirdo shit. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was something else, though. You know, I thought it was old ass on a book with, like, consciousness or, you know, like, raising, you know, like, a person's elevation or conscious awareness. I didn't have, know what had nothing to do with this, about being lawless, doing whatever the fuck you feel like doing with whoever you feel like doing it with and shit. You know, whether it's a man with a man, a woman with a woman, with a man, or a man with a, whatever, like, just weirdo shit. I'm like, how the fuck is that woke? That sounds sleep to me. Sound like some shit that happened in a fucking dream, but
check this out though. Your man Jay-Z, a few years back, he's on. Mm-hmm. He's in the. They did the video shoot for the Rihanna song "Run This Town," and mm-hmm. he in the video, but there's like a B-roll footage of him doing an interview, and he's got a hoodie on. On the hoodie are the words "Do what thou wilt."
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, anybody that really, you know, knows, like, we know on a deeper level, you know, that's a name of a chapter in what's called the Book of the Law by Aleister mm-hmm. Crowley, mm-hmm. an extreme who in this chapter talks about the very thing that you just said, lawlessness, mm-hmm. being able to men dealing with kids, women, you know, all type of weird creep shit. And that's what he's basically preaching in this chapter, in the whole book itself, but specifically in this chapter called Do Without Will.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because that they use, obviously, the entertainers and whatnot and the celebrities mm-hmm. to continue to promote, you know, agenda subliminally, like right in your eyes. And if you don't know on a deeper level, you won't even catch it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
you know, the other half of that phrase is if do as thou wilt, or die with the dogs of reason.
I ain't even know that.
Yeah. So what's happening is when they not understanding like the symbol, like when they not understanding, let's say, like some people hear this and they take this shit literally, and so now they hearing, okay, do as thou wilt. Meaning just do whatever you want to do. Die with the dogs of reason. So that's saying where they come with this thing where they talk about social constructs as far as like when you talk about like any forms of law, order, structure, discipline, anything that's not chaos or dysfunction. This is what they're viewing as like being their divine self or being in touch with the divine. It's like that movie Split. Where he was trying to tap into the great beast or whatever, which was pretty much like this primal animalistic state. But in his mentality or in that thought paradigm, it was like this primitive animal instinct of self that's like the primordial beast that's superior to the regular man or mentality or mind of man. That goes into like Sigmund Freud. When you hear people talk about ego all the time, they're like ego, 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 but they don't talk about the super ego or the id.
Mm.
So I say that is where you have certain original people where we're moving towards what you would call like our super ego. So we're moving towards like your higher self or our higher levels of dimensions of consciousness and spirituality, spiritual growth and experiences on those levels. Whereas with certain others, they're leaning more towards what you call like your lower self or like the id, which is the animalistic nature. But that nature is like it's uncontrolled. It's lawless. You know what I'm saying? It does what it wills, and there's no logic, no reason, because it's the animalistic nature, you know. And so this is pretty much like with their tapping into what they're getting into is talking about being not even really a deity, but this is what they tapping into, an energy or where they feel that that they're like divine or supreme, or this is their most high state of being. It's extreme materialism, you know, but on the lowest vibrational level, animalistic form. But then when you look at animals on a certain level, they are free. you know, shit. And some animals are freer than some people are, you know, with the worries about the different things people have and stresses and shit. Like, I just, you would look out the window right now and look at them birds chirping. They ain't worried about how they going to pay no bills.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't worried about food. They ain't worried about clothing. They ain't worried about shelter. They ain't worried about their boss. They ain't worried about their job. They ain't worried about getting fired. Shit, they ain't even worried about their girlfriend or their boyfriend.
Would you believe that scripture becomes? It's actually a sin to worry. You're supposed to trust that your day-to-day affairs is already taken care of, what you're going to eat, all that basic stuff. And it says in there, when you said the birds, it says, I'm paraphrasing now. It's basically saying, surely birds don't worry about, as you said, what they're going to eat. It said that in the scriptures, bro. I can't think of the exact scripture right now because I read it, but it says that in there. Should see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah, that's dope, bro. Like, you know, the animals, man, like. But with that saying, you know, why it would be considered a sin is because you're going against your divine nature. And divine nature is abundance. You know, so when you worry, a lot of times people worry, and worry is associated with lack or not having something or something, you know, not going right. But that's the opposite of abundance, you know, and nature deals with abundance, you know, it's that's how we're supposed to be, you know, so that's like the mentality that the animals is operating from, you know, they, shit, it's not even a thought, you know, it's not even crossing their mind. You know, like, it's no such thing as lack or limitation in nature. You know, it's abundant. It's constantly replenishing itself. You know, so if nature is abundant, you know, when we're part of nature, you know, that's the time we should be on to abundance. You know, you don't even worry about things because what you worry, you give life to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm asking you that thing to become your God. You know what I'm saying? You know. So what about this autonomy? That's the
man.
Move.
I can't find it. I'm trying to find it. Shoot.
You said what?
No, I was seeing if I could find that that text in the scriptures real quick. Where it's talking about worry and being a sin. It's not coming to me right now. But if I find it, I'm definitely going to read that joint.
I'm going to do a show on autonomy, man, next, man. We got to really get these clarifications because as a people, you know, we settle. That's it. We settle.
Yeah. And, you know, and that kind of tying everything, like, we were just discussing, like, even when on, we mentioned, but, like, like, the nature of certain people and shit like that. You know, regardless of the information, regardless of how it's presented, regardless of how much evidence it is to back it up, it's just people out there who, it's just not in their nature to be divine or, you know, to want to live, you know, in accordance, you know, with any type of law, you know. And so when we say things like this ain't for everybody or people going to be left behind, it's going to be a lot of people like that that's going to be left behind. You know, those who want to do what God wrote and, you know, what God was the dog to lead them and, you know, take that, you know, they could just be chaotic, do all of these things, thinking that it's up harm, you know, other people. Or have an impact on society as a whole. You know, there'd be no room for individuals like that, you know.
Mm.
Like a lot of people would, you know, fall off.
What you call it was right, man. They tried to paint my man as the bad guy subliminally in the movies, the character Thanos. He got a battle.
Yeah, he's trying to bring balance.
Duality. Super consciousness, a perfect blend of positive and negative. I always say sometimes it's good to be bad, sometimes it's bad to be good. Sometimes it's bad to be good, sometimes it's good to be bad.
You do bad things like the right reason.
And you got to get these women back in natural order, too. Everybody all out of whack.
Yeah, man, that shit is all by design. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been so many mechanisms, you know, put in place to, you know, capture the mind of the man, to capture the mind of the woman, you know. But that's something that's got to be restored, you know. Definitely important, you know, to get as many minded individuals on board as possible, especially women. You know, like women is key, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like is women, you know, they key, you know, to making everything work. So good in that.
We need some infinity stones. Snap these niggas away.
Hell yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That shit is, because there's gonna be somebody trying to avenge the fight to bring that shit back. We trying to unsnap the snap.
Yeah, once we do this, it's irreversible. Yeah. All right, everybody's, and I was going to do a show about this, too. It might be kind of switching gears a little bit, but it's actually still along the lines of what we were talking about, being out of balance with nature. And I'm talking about as far as with women and men, right? So, like, even Snipe, you did a show on this before, bro, with the polygamy. I think you did it on Facebook, though.
Mm-hmm.
You was talking polygamy. And that's, see, the fact that women are out of violation of the natural order by trying to control the nature of a man. It's in the nature of a man to seek out, you know, his hunt, you know, whatever woman he may be attracted to. Even if he's married to a woman for 10 years, it's in a man's nature to, you know what I mean, discover and come across and conquer and take care of another woman. It's almost as it's a man's mission to take care of multiple women and father multiple families. But the thing is, back in the old days, it was all done together instead of separately. So, but now society has it where, you know, the women try to keep up and compete. Well, if you could do it, I could do it type thing. And I'm like, no, you can't, because you're out of nature. So, like I said, I gave this example. I'm like, I could sleep with 1,000 girls in 1 week and not catch feelings for not one of them. But a woman can't do that because it's against her nature. It's natural that she's going to catch feelings for one or two, and probably half of them. You get what I'm saying? So the women that, you know, are heavy with partners and all that, I think deep down inside they hate themselves because they know they're out of natural order of their nature as a woman.
Shit, I think a lot of them are. They do it for different reasons. You know, I think when we operate and we do things, it's not from an emotional perspective. I think that because of how, you know, men are wired, they're more logical. Women, they're more emotional. That it's almost impossible because of their receptive energy, they always receive them. You know what I'm saying? So it's like all of the different partners and shit like that the female may have, you know, all that different energy pops up inside of it. You know what I'm saying? So you could meet a female and she, you know, might be a combination of, you know, all 20 of the tools she under. You know what I'm saying? Because this energy is like lingering in there and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Because that shit is in the blood. Like, they're talking about in science, like how when like the male ejaculates in the female, and how the sperm, like how it attaches to the mitochondria, to the DNA, and like that. You know what I'm saying? So a woman's first partner, you know, DNA could be tied in with her. You know what I'm saying? And she could be off on to being married, having children or something like that, you know, with her husband or whatever. And, you know, this child has traits of a past or previous partner, all because of the DNA intertwining and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's you know, like on a scientific level or whatever, you know. I mean, how is it? Besides, you know, emotions or anything like that or whatever, you know, that shit is like a form of possession. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine how wild that shit is? Like somebody's son come out acting like the dude she lost her virginity to. You see, like, or some old, you know, you wonder why you're a little off, a little nutty and shit, and you like, oh, that was, damn, that might be the reason why.
Hey, you know what though? I'm thinking we got to build something like some type of special community. You know what I'm saying? Like all
yeah.
these other special communities. They got different, like, just they got the church community. They got the FBI community, the family
mm-hmm.
community, different communities. You know what I'm saying? The NOI community.
Yeah,
you
got to
build
yeah.
something, man, where people come in high-level thinking, logically, making moves, you know, people moving in accord with the divine order and nature and things like that, but we not selling ourselves short. You know, we using all the resources we can to build up this platform. And if we study how they destroy platforms, you know, we know how to move where we not, we're going to be almost indestructible, you know?
Right.
Because when you create leaders, they tear down a leader, and the whole thing just go to shit. Look what happened with Z York and the other guy, Noble Ju Ali, and a few other people, you know? They just tear the head off. Yeah, that's what I was saying with Z York. They tear the head off, and everything scatters. You know what I'm saying? So with that, that's a study in itself. It's not saying that we, you know, they wasn't really, a couple of them wasn't really doing nothing to get themselves destroyed. It was just the nature of the beast. Saying,
no,
okay,
man.
We see what y'all doing over here. We got y'all pattern down pat, so we know exactly what to do to shatter this thing. Let's go in there and tell them, hey, you can't build this house right here. And if they don't tear
right.
this house down, which they spilt $1 million to build, then we're going to come in there and shut the whole shit down. So,
now go ahead.
You know, we got to have be counterproductive to things like that, and I be studying stuff like that. Like, so I study the solution in that, what could have been done to avoid certain things and certain things that should be in place to be done. And I believe that, you know, with our thinking power and the right amount of finances behind us, we can lawfully and rightfully build our own thing. We can't feel like we got to fear building our own thing because we're going to be opted out of whatever, you know, they got going on. We can do our own trade. That's like an example of what the Garvey boy then did. I'm just saying these names because people are more familiar with them.
Right.
I don't follow their model. But that's like what Garvey did. He started buying ships. We have a right to buy ships. If we had the money, why wouldn't we buy ships to do trade? And things like that. It's a possibility they may want to sink our ships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But we got a right to set up an autonomy. We got a right to do an autonomy. We got a right to build a platform for females to come into, and it replaced the social system that they depended on.
Yep.
We got a right to put out different programs that put them in a more respectful light. Because, like, from what I observe, you know, the woman, they disrespectful. They not respectful, you know what I'm saying? Just their attitudes, the way they talk, and things like
mm-hmm.
that. And if you around, like, I don't like being around disrespectful woman. That's a turnoff. I don't want nothing
right.
to do with them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's just a turnoff. Like, they not even feminine. Not saying all of them, but it's a lot. Like, you're going to go out, you're just going to see the bullshit. You're just going to see the ratchetness, the raggediness, you know what I'm saying, everywhere.
And it's like a vote over exaggeration of masculinity.
Yeah, yeah. And they think they trying to be the men. It's like it could be vice versa, because some men be more emotional than a woman.
Yeah,
a woman can sleep with 20 men and not give a fuck. And the man sleep with one woman and fall in love. And the man will take her wholeness.
Like it's shifted. Everything is shifted. And so many hormonal imbalance, but that go into like the food, the different shit, the environment. It's a lot of factors as to why like the roles is reversing. Like over near me, the Niagara River, they was testing the water. Because of the shit they dumping in the water, they found that some fish came transgender. Like they transgender. Like mutated from one thing to another. Now it was a scientist who was doing the research about food drugs and the chemicals they put in food and how it alters hormones and can cause homosexuality, and found that, you know, the different artificial flavors, colors, preservatives in food, the chemicals they put in food and other substances, it can alter your hormones and cause males to act like females and females to act like males. You know, like too much estrogen, too much testosterone turns into estrogen. You know what I'm saying? And then so, you know, the dudes is locked up, you know, when they're trying to feed them all that soy and all of that shit. And then so you can't have sex and shit like that. So you got all this estrogen, it's, you know, all this testosterone is going to turn into estrogen. You know, and if you have even dairy, you know, you start to develop female emotions because you eating the emotions and taking in the emotions and the hormones of the female animals and the animal byproducts that you consume. Most of the animals that people eat are female. Estrogen, you know what I'm saying? Then the hormones that they put into that, talking about feminine energy on steroids. You know what I'm saying? So with people like they naturally born some type of way, yeah, you might be the way shit is now. You know, it's all type of birth defects and chemical imbalances is taking place. You know, but it's only
that what this is the purpose of halal meat. Two reasons, right? Because if you ain't eating it halal, first of all, it's a violation because you're not supposed to eat meat with blood in it. Then secondly, if you are going to eat the animal, if it's not ceremonially killed properly and the blood drained properly, then you take on the emotions and the fears of that animal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's say this, right? Let's say all that's true. Let's give the people the counter to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the counter to that? Halal, what is halal? Some people don't even know what halal is, so they got to be taught what that is. You see what I'm saying?
So like the way that they kill the animal, like in a peaceful manner. You know, the way the animal, it doesn't see, it doesn't know that it's going to happen. As opposed
to
the truck and
we
shot.
We got to figure this, right? We got to figure this. Where are we getting these animals from? How are we getting the animals? How are we raising them? How are we slaughtering them, reproducing them?
It has a lot to do with it also.
Right, because when you got to feed
people. A lot of people, when they eat meat or cow meat or whatnot, it's not, the cows wasn't fed properly. They wasn't fed like real wheat grass and all that. They fed a bunch of junk and chemicals.
Yeah, they feed most of them shit GMO corn. I mean, to me, like, I don't, like, my solution long ago was I just start fucking with animals. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more of abundance of vegetation. You get more nutrients from vegetation. Every animal eats plants. I just knock the middle man out the
way. We're really not supposed to be
start fucking with the animals.
Yeah, I mean, but that's for some people, that's drastic. You know what I'm saying? So they would have to find, you know, I would say for them to try and cut it down to like maybe like a turkey or a fish, because those things can still be found in the wild, but ain't no farm animals nowhere in the wild. You ain't never seen none of this shit in the wild look like that ever. Like food and shit, some shit they got. Shit they can get. I hear you, go ahead.
No, that's a fact. You ain't never seen no damn cow in no jungle.
Nah, I be seeing big ass wild turkeys and shit like that out there, but I ain't never seen like.
Man, I think we can build up something, get some land in a few places and start a little little big, little, medium, you know, farm where we growing fruits and vegetables, and we producing our own produce.
My whole ultimate end game and vision is us having our own, like you almost basically what you said, our own everything, totally and completely separate and apart. And the funny thing is, you know how they like to mock shit in movies and whatnot and poke fun at us through the movies? Now, have you ever seen the Black Panther, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's us.
Seen what?
Not
seen
all
what
the actual things we did. Right? The idea
of kind of
a hidden, technologically advanced people in society, separate and apart from the rest of the world. We don't co-mingle with them. We don't get in their business. They don't get nerfed. That's what we need. That's what Black people had until we would let the conquistadors come and fuck our program up and be contracted with them. You know what I mean? Well, we meant to be a set aside of sacred people because we govern and we created by a different set of rules than what the some would say Neanderthal, some would say pilgrims, with Euros, whatever you want to call them. We were meant to be governed by a different set of, first of all, our spirituality system and way of belief is by nature totally opposite. Like, they traditionally believe in heathenistic things that they try to put on us, like cannibalism, raping kids, you know, all that type of weird shit. We didn't know anything. We didn't know shit about English, Spanish, Jesus, disease. We didn't know shit about rats, none of this shit, until they came and conquered Ireland. And now you got all these places in Europe, like York, you got a New York here, Hampshire, you got a New Hampshire here. All these places is new this. You got an England over there, a New England here. So we need our own shit again, totally separate in a personal system. Like I'm talking about only everything you can think of.
That's an autonomy.
Yeah.
Big
that's
what
wells. It all that's lead back to.
Yep, y'all do what y'all do. And if there's any Black people that want to stay in y'all Roman lace system, let them. But we going to go over here with our folks and do this. Don't fuck with us. Don't bother us. The Amish is doing it.
Honestly, this right here, right, we got to be also realistic to our needs for building, technology, things like that. We're going to have to network. You know, people normally network with other countries through certain treaties. We learn how to write up treaties, then we can do our networking where maybe we need other resources, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we need some type of vehicles or some type of aircraft, so you know what I'm saying? Maybe some type of facilities, like we need an embassy. Maybe we want to set up an embassy. We're going to have to do something. We can't just go in and just start building embassies, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have some type of contract in place where we get an exclusive right to build in a certain area. And, you know, just as far as just co-mingling, like we can't really avoid that altogether, you know what I'm saying? Like no country really doing that. They still, like even with the U.S. and other countries, they still getting a little bit of resources here. Little bit of resources here, gold here, corn from over here, but now, you know what I'm saying? So we can cover as much as we can, but let's say we want some new type of truck, security truck, and they the only ones building it in China. We're going to have to somehow go to them and say, hey, you know, this is our thing. We want to buy y'all trucks, you know what I'm saying? So we can protect our what we doing, up our security and things like that. Maybe they got...
Yeah.
Satellites and radio devices we need that we feel we can use in our community to communicate with each other. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we need some type of towers we can set up to communicate, private towers. So we might need that to employ that technology. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's all
we're gonna want to definitely compete. We ain't gonna want to just be in the dark. If we not building it ourselves, we're gonna have to get it from somewhere. And I don't
You raise a reasonable point in that regard.
Yeah, we just going, man, it can start with us and, you know, whoever pick it up after us, It may be the ground that they needed to inspire them to build something bigger than what we started. You know what I mean?
Right.
I believe that we can leave the message for the future. We can give them the blueprint. And it's not just radical. It won't be radical. It'll be precise. So now they have, like, a direction. You know what I mean? They have instructions and things like that. I believe that every family should write out a family plan and make a book out of it specifically for their family, their intended wishes for their family to become successful and to merge with other families that are successful and to create empires. I think it should be a manuscript on that, that the child can look at and say, oh, my great-great-granddad left this, and I got to, you know, somehow adhere to these rules to keep the family success going. You know what I'm saying? It's the blueprint. I think we should be writing, we should work on writing blueprints for our family, for the children that we have, the children that we know they may have, and give them ideas so that they can, you know, like normally kids don't, when the parents die out, they don't have anything, no direction. They're going to be guided by everything else, the schools and the colleges and everywhere else. They not, like, I wish I had something I could look at that my granddad left with all the knowledge he had. So we not leaving this knowledge to our children. Then once we die, it's going to go to waste. They're not going to be looking for the blog shows. They may or may not, but if we got a family manuscript that's saying, hey, this is how our family should do things to be successful. You know, we may have to tell them, hey, if you don't have a pot to piss in, you may have to go get a big loan for $1 million and run it up.
Yeah.
On your feet and then manage it this way and that way. Now you become a vessel for this money, but you can get anything you need out of it to improve the quality of life. So that's all I'm saying, man, is I think we should probably start working on some type of family manuscript. We can project the generations to come. We can project that. So we can speak to them, even in our death, we can speak to them and say, hey, you know, I left you this message, and this is the order of the family.
Yeah,
that's my ideal, man, but I think it's something that's would be proven important later on. Like, if we had a message like that, how important would that be to us if we can crack open a book and see that our great-great-granddad left us a message of, hey, listen. This is what's happening back then, so you got to be careful. They probably going to brainwash y'all by then. But this is what they still doing. Right. This is what they did three generations ago. So it may change to where it's hidden now. But we unlock that message. Now we can tap back into our psyche and say, oh, now we see what they're doing. Now we see why they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Give a heads up, a warning.
Yeah.
Because they're going to continue to cover up the shit they do. With so much circus, and all people going to want to do is go to the circus and see the show.
Yeah, the new shit is monkeypox now.
Man, I ain't really, I mean, shit, I don't know how serious that is, you know what I'm saying? Some shit is actual, some shit is real, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't know how serious it is. I'm going to just, as long as I ain't dealing with it, I'm not going to really take initiative to it, but some shit really happens, like, you know what I'm saying? Cancer, other shit, diseases, that shit really happens. You know what I mean? Even though we you know, somebody may not believe in it, it's actually happening, you know what I'm saying, whether they orchestrating it or not. So we can't really just ignore it. We got to really see what the solution is for it as well.
The great Dr. Sabi, he don't believe in disease. He calls disease a compound word. Disease in your bloodstream is something we put in us to cause it.
Now, Pete, this, he didn't believe in diseases, but he also had a counter for what he called diseases, which was mucus. So we don't have counter.
Not a counter for sickness, yeah.
Right, so we need that counter. That's what I'm saying. We need to be able to know exactly where the resource coming from. Like, if we want the counter, we got to probably go to his website or one of them websites to get it. We should be able to have the access to the raw resources to grind it up ourselves and make our own concoction or combination of what he made. So we got to do right, that maybe. Study and research, and then we have the full knowledge. Now we can stand on it like he learned from whoever he learned from, because he didn't know that by himself. He learned from somebody who taught him, and he pushed it out a little more than the person who taught him.
Yep.
So we know about Dr. Sabi. We shouldn't have to mention Dr. Sabi's name. We should know about the solution that he used, because Dr. Sabi is not the one that originated it. You know what I mean? So we should learn what the actual product is. And when we got that yeah. knowledge, then we can say that the knowledge came full circle. We don't have to yeah. say Dr. Sabi. We say burdock root. We say, hey, let me give you this burdock root. He passed the buck. He passed the message. He gone now. That's just like that's being accountable. Go ahead, my bad. Go ahead.
Now, I'm going to say that's like that's touching on what you mentioned last night when you showed the picture of the vulture and asked people what they see, you know. And
right.
it's an image. They say it's a vulture. And so with healing, with a lot of different things, people, they give us the image. They give a lot of images. So you say you, but the science of it is like you just said, well, how does that work? Well, the art would be, say, Dr. Sabi's electric cell food formula. You know, that's the art. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, what advertisement come with it. But then the science is what you was referring to. So what's the ingredients? Where could I go to get these ingredients and how could I put it together? Now, some of those things, you may not be able to, you know, go to Honduras or this place to get this herb or this, that, but it's a lot of things you could just go to the grocery store. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the things that we need to heal is right there. You know what I'm saying? It starts first with what we put in our mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? So, I mean.
You know what that made me think of? That dude, my bad, I ain't mean to cut your wisdom. I was just going to say that dude, Yada Amin, y'all ever heard of him? Yada Amin, something
yeah.
like that? I seen him go to this other country to get these
Ecuador.
Herbs to make some type of, that's where he went to Ecuador?
Yeah, he went to Ecuador.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? Like, that's how diligent we got to be. We got to step out this hood and go seek and find what we need, whether it's we going there to create a resource, a connection, to do trade. We got to be able to go seek. If they say you can only get the Piccadilly Lily in Barbados, but this Piccadilly Lily would reverse your aging, we got to be discoverers. We got to be explorers. We got to have passport. We got to make moves. We got to be able to say, okay, we're going to get this lily. So we start doing our research. Hey, y'all got a American friendly environment basically. Cause we don't want to go nowhere in the war zone or where we targeted. You know what I'm saying? We want to be able to say, okay, they got the pick of lilies over here. So we all setting up, or whoever going on this mission. That's what the bankers did when they wanted to set up the five. Banks, he sent his five sons out to all different countries. They knew what they was doing. And their purpose was to get people to sign up for the need, the money, to build the resources, get the labor, and then they default because they couldn't pay the interest, and they take everything. And nothing's stopping us from setting up our own bank. We can do all of this shit. We can have our own bank. But we're going to have to play by the rules because we didn't initiate it, you know what I'm saying? But playing by the rules is not that bad. We want to be influential. We don't want to just be like we're going to do our own thing and we don't have to do nothing nobody else doing. We're going to play the game on a higher level. We're going to have to play by the rules to establish ourselves. You know what I mean?
Our family.
I'm literally seeing people doing this already. That's how I know we can do it. We're just not applying our mental to it, and we probably don't have all the resources and you know, money we need to kick it off, but if we're thinking about it, we can build it and make it happen. And people are going to have to watch us build it. A lot of people, they're not going to be interested until they see it built. And then by that time, they're going to have to pick a side or it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just the way it is.
Man, we stay focused. Y'all be surprised what we can do. Just sharpening up, staying focused, and using the resources that we have. Could you imagine the buying power that we can build? The buying power. I seen my cousin. He with a group of investors in property. They gave them $51 million in loans. My cousin that I grew up with, you know, as a child.
Mm.
Him and his group got $51 million. I think we can do good with 50. They built some type of complex, maybe a 50-100 unit complex, something like that. I don't really know. But I think I think that'd be a good start for us if we had something like that in place. If we can increase our buying power and get $51 million. Could you imagine the shit we know what we'd be able to do? Could you imagine?
Everything comes, you know, everything is coming to reality, you know, with that, you know.
Yeah, we can create right away. Hey, let's do a farm. Let's get the farm going. Let's go get some equipment, go get some Mexicans, and put them boys to work. Or we can do it ourselves.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a will, it's a way. You know, ultimately, you know, the goal was like, I'm thinking of like building like whole healing institutions and like everything that we talk about and discuss, making this all like like if you went to any other institution or university where you have classes and, you know, subjects and like really building an institution of learning. You know what I'm saying? So when I say holistic art of war and, you know what I'm saying, and preparing for holistic warfare, like this is like my end game or my end goal is like, you know, thinking of a way to facilitate, you know, collect resources, commerce, facilitate, but ultimately be able to create all of these different things, you know, that we want to see. But then, of course, being realistic, we're going to have to do commerce. So, of course, there's going to be rules of engagement that's going to have to be implied.
Mm-hmm.
That's something
rules of engagement.
Young with our youth, what you were saying with the family thing, that's just economics, you know what I'm saying, or culture, you know, family culture. If we instill, you know, that along with the rules of engagement, which would be how you engage while doing commerce with other different nations or groups, you know, and then also militarizing all of this stuff. You have to be able to protect all of this shit. You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely.
Military or army, you know what I'm saying? So we have to militarize, you know, our children, our youth, you know, those individuals that's, you know, that's fit and that's able, so forth and so on, you know, but yeah, you know, that's the end goal, you know what I'm saying, is to put all of that together. You have an institution of healing and an institution of learning, you know what I'm saying, you know, it's all, you know, ascended-minded or like, you know, individuals, and we just, you know, build and, you know, create that better reality that we want to see and shit. Like, it's what's going to help us when we come out with these other, you know, lowly level people, you know what I'm saying? Because you engage with them and you do business with them, you know, like, but you don't have to do as they do, you know, or if you're doing like what some may say bad things and for the right reason. But that's just a matter of perspective. Somebody saying is good or bad anyway. You know what I'm saying? But you not losing yourself when you're doing business and commerce with these people and you walking away with, you know, what you want or, you know, walking away with the prize. That's ultimately what it's about anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, just, you know, building up tenets and guidelines and be able to execute and do all of that. You know, and that's the purpose of, like, these bills and these conversations. And it's crazy because people are going to see this shit manifest. You know, so it's like either you get on board, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, you get left behind, you get left out, you know what I'm saying, you get in, get out, you know, but ultimately, you know, it's for everybody, but it's not for everybody, you know. Freedom is for everybody, but it's not.
Hey, you got 1 minute left. You want to close your show out?
Yeah. I've got to keep track of the time. But that was definitely a good build, a good discussion. I definitely want to thank y'all for calling in. You know what I'm saying? Good combo, good build. I'm going to